We're starting a new series this morning, The Wind of the Spirit. Wow, I got saved in the Holy Spirit Revival. Maury and I, this is my good friend Maury. We've been friends for, I don't know how long, huh? 36 years. And we were in the 60s, can you tell? And some of us cleaned up, but you know. we were saying the Holy Spirit Revival. You know, oh my, wasn't that incredible? That was the most incredible time.
Still flying high, just in a different way.
Yeah, amen, amen. And he is actually a minister of the gospel. And our good friends, for all those years, we were, you don't want to hear my, how many want to hear my testimony? You all heard it. These people, I don't know these people. I'll give my, so in July 17th, 1979, I was, you know, in the counterculture. And, oh my gosh, it was incredible. Let's go right to that place in John, John 3:16. You said, I know that. How many remember John 3:16? In the beginning, you know. John 3:16. I'll never forget it. I was standing in the back of the church on July 7th. Oh, did I tell you I wasn't going to tell you about that? July 17th, 1979. I was standing at the back of the church because I wouldn't come and sit down. That's how rebellious I was, you know. And my girlfriend had invited me there, who is now my wife and mother of my 7 children. And, you know, and she had invited me there because I had been drunk for 3 days. And I'm sorry. But anyway, I came and I stood in the back and Sunday night, and they read this scripture. The scripture, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. Oh my goodness. We call it born again. That's not very popular today. You know, people are trying to, you know, it's born from above. Born from above. It's the second birth. And when I heard that, it's like I never heard it before, and I was raised in a church. And my first thought is, why didn't they ever tell me that? I mean, why didn't they ever tell me that, you know? And they said, if anybody here is not born again, and I knew I was not born again, I'll tell you. I know I was born of the water, you know, because we're 90% water. How many know that? Man's 90% water. And I've been at 7 births. Ooh, there's a lot of water there. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a whole lot of water. You don't want to go there. There's a whole lot of water there. Whew. Born of water, the natural birth. We have this natural birth. My wife went natural. You know, Booth Memorial Hospital was down on Euclid Avenue. It was all set up with a birthing room, you know. And we all, the family, gathered around. Why, I don't know. I tried to stay out in the hall. And, come on in. You know, no. I don't want to go there, you know. Oh, my gosh. You know, Aunt Mary was there. And, you know, Aunt Beth. And, you know, everybody was there. It was a mess, I'll tell you. But that's being born of water, okay? A lot of yelling, a lot of screaming. Oh, my gosh, you know, a lot of kicking. And that's being born of water. In fact, I was at Maury's daughter's birth. And, of course, according to the culture at the time, he had her at home. And he delivered her. Woo! And her middle name, Sunshine. Laurel Sunshine, you know. And I had the privilege of marrying her, you know. But I was there at her birth. Incredible. You know, I didn't even know the Lord. But I know Jesus was there. I mean, Jesus was there so incredibly. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, or born from above. The new birth, born from above, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I tried so many ways to enter the kingdom. You know, almost killed myself doing it. I mean, I wanted to break on through to the other side. And I mean, I was trying. You know how we use all kinds of stuff to try to... People are using all kinds of stuff to get where they can't go. To where they think they want to find happiness, you know? I mean, today it's ecstasy and all this other stuff, you know? I got a word Christian for it. I call it expectancy. I expect to see God do something beyond what I can even ask or think every day. It's called expectancy. Christians have expectancy. Are you in expectation for what only God can do? Amen. Amen. Expectancy. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And I was in the flesh, big time, you know. I was in the flesh. And it says, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. How many are born of the Spirit? The rest of you need to get born again then. I mean, there you go. It's good to have a date too. I always tell people it's really good to have a date. You know, July 17th, 1979 at 7:37 in the evening. You know, it's good to have a date. Know when that happened to you. Know when you experienced that transformation, that change. When Jesus is in the house, everything changes. I mean, everything changes. After that night, I never drank again. I never smoked pot again. I never, you know, never, never, never. Supernatural deliverance. Whew. Incredible. Supernatural. He is a witness to that. Oh, my gosh. I mean, he will deliver you. That's what salvation means. It's sozo, delivered. Delivered, healed, healed and delivered. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. I'm not ashamed of saying it. You must be born again. You must, if you want to enter the kingdom. Flesh and blood cannot enter. All your good works, all the good stuff that you're trying to do, you know, it's not going to get you there. It just won't get you there. I was trying to do good stuff even in the midst of my, you know, doing the bad stuff. Helping little old ladies, you know, and doing good stuff and trying to do good stuff. And then I'd be bad. I was sort of somebody said, you were a good parent. I said, I had my moments. How many understand that in parenting? I had my moments, you know, and I was a good, understanding father, you know. And they were, you know, they're getting closer together. Those moments are getting closer together. And they will get closer together. And so he's telling Nicodemus this, a guy who is a spiritual leader, a religious guy. How many know religious guys? He's telling a spiritual leader who should know this stuff. He should know this stuff. But Nicodemus answers and said to him, how can this be? I don't get it. I just don't get it. How many know that religious people just don't get it? I mean, I talk to people all the time, you know. Like I said, you know, at the bus garage. I talk to people at the bus garage. I drive a van for Kinston, you know, and I start talking to them. You know, they come to me and say, well, you know, I was hurt over here. And I said, I'm just mad at God. And I said, he can take it. He can handle it. Just that's okay, you know. They look at you. I said, you know, it's not about religion. It's not about going to church. It's about Jesus. It's about relationship. And they look at you like, our culture, God and church are so synonymous, people can't separate the two. You know, if I never go to church again, I still have God. Amen? Now, I love going to church. I loved being here this morning, dancing with all you guys and girls, you know, having a great time, seeing my friend Maury. I mean, I like it like I used to like the bar, you know. I mean, I felt so secure at the bar, so friendly. I could walk in, sit next to a guy. I said, oh, Dan, I just murdered my mother-in-law, you know. And they go, yeah, here, have a drink. I understand. I mean, Christians won't even be as understanding as the people in the bar are, you know what I mean? Doug and Rhonda are pretty understanding. You know, Maury's understanding. I mean, he's been with me all these years. He knows my ups and downs. You know, we used to live in a house together, of course. And, you know, before I was married to my girlfriend, who's now my wife. And we lived in the same house. And we had one phone, you know, because we hated Ma Bell. And anyway, so we'd hear the phone ring, you know, and then Maury would come running over, you know, down the steps. It was open to the down. And I said, oh, there's a phone call for you. We had one washing machine. It was a Maytag. It was a great. Is it still running? Nope. No. Okay. I mean, that, you know, we were brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we got saved together in 1 month or 1 or 3 months. The whole house got saved. The whole house. That was a Jesus movement. Jesus movement. So the wind blows. I mean, it was the wind of the Spirit that was blowing. The wind of the Holy Spirit. You know? Wind of the Spirit. I walked into Bainbridge Town Hall. Bainbridge Town Hall. And there was this thing going on, a glow. And of course, it was in the afternoon, and I wasn't working, and because we didn't really work. And anyway, I walked in, and all these people are standing there praising God. And there was one guy in a suit, and he was praising God and praying in tongues. And I went, whoa, I want that. I want that. That's really cool. I think Sue, Maury's girlfriend, who he's now married to, got it. She got it. And that's what it was all about. That's what that move of the Spirit was. It was all about, you know, the gifts of the Spirit and the move of the Spirit and the wind of the Spirit. How many remember that? How many remember that time? Oh, my gosh. Am I still the oldest guy in the place? Where's your dad? Oh, now I'm the oldest guy here. Jeez, you know what it's like to be the oldest guy in the room? Anyway, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. The wind of the Spirit, the move of the Spirit. It's the move of the Spirit. See, something has to happen from the inside. You have to be changed and changed. Look over in Genesis 1. Now we're really getting to the beginning. Genesis 1, in the beginning. In the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Here we have the Trinity all together in creation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right there together in unity at creation. It says, and the Spirit of God hovering or moving or blowing. The creative energy of the Holy Spirit over the face of the water. What did I say? You're 90% water. See, when the Spirit of God moves over the water, when it moves over you, there's a transformation. There's a change. Something changes. Something happens. How many's had it happen to them? And it's not just a one-time thing. I'm telling you, yeah, we were in that move, but there's moves of the Spirit on a continual basis that are moving and empowering of the Holy Spirit that helps get you, like, through the night, through the day, through the tough times, through the difficult times, through the good times, through all the times. They make the good times even better. The times on the front porch all by myself. My wife's out of town. And, I mean, that's why she's not here. She would be here if she knew I was preaching. But, I mean, the move of the Spirit last night was so incredible. Oh, my gosh, it was beautiful. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the water. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. There is no life without light. There is no life without the move of the Spirit. That's why we are going to take a month here. We're going to talk about the wind of the Spirit. This church needs a move of the Spirit every day. You people need a move of the Spirit in your life. You need to feel the wind of the Spirit when you're working, where you're at, you know, in school, wherever you need that wind of the Spirit. It says, God, the Holy Spirit said, let there be light. Not no life without the move of the Spirit. No light without the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent of change, and we need change. I need change. I need to be changed all the time. My heart needs to be changed. When I get, you know, mean and nasty, you know, am I the only one? And, you know, when I get impatient, when I get down, when I get depressed, I need change. Something needs to change. Something the Holy Spirit needs to remind me that I'm a Christian and I need to be full of love and joy and peace when fear comes on me. You know, when an evening body count starts on the news and I can go into a ditch, I need the Holy Spirit to tell me there's life. There is no death. Whew. I need to be born from above again and again and again. I need to be lifting my eyes to heaven like the song says. That's my favorite song. Sweet Wind, it's called Sweet Wind. I sent it around today all week on Facebook. You've never been anywhere till you've been with 4,000 people in one place singing that song in Toronto. I was in Toronto. Man, they start one note in the song, people get up and start running. Whew. The wind of the Spirit. It was like 3 in the afternoon. I said, don't these people have jobs? You know what I mean? 4,000 people. 2,000 of them from Korea and Japan. They spent their life savings to get there to be blessed and filled with the Spirit of God. Whew. Oh, man, I need it. I need it every day. I need the wind of the Spirit. I need change. I need transformation. Oh, I'm so in the flesh most of the time. Most of the time, it says transformation. We can't live without the Spirit moving. Without the Spirit moving in our life. Oh, can you feel it? Whew. Oh, there's a wind blowing. I'm telling you. It's like somebody left the window open. You know? I mean, there's an open heaven, folks. Don't listen to people saying, you know, the heavens are like brass. Jesus opened heavens. The curtain's been rent. There's freedom in the house, and Nicodemus doesn't even know it. Nicodemus goes, how can these things be? He spent his whole life in religion, trying to approach God through religion, his whole life, through the law. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For it is God, the Father. Here again, we have the whole Trinity in unity. God who commands light to shine out of the darkness. Let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. Oh man, you want to speak something over people, your friends, your family, those who are in darkness, those that sit in darkness. Let there be light. Let there be light. More light. Bring the light. Oh, light. Whew, they need to see there's light at the end of the tunnel. I'm telling you. They really do. We in a culture that's a culture of death. And they need to see the light. They need to see the hope in you. They need to see the love in you. They need to see the joy in you. They don't need you here repeating what the news is saying. What Glenn Beck is saying, what everybody else would... I'm saying names. You know what I mean? I mean, they need to hear what you're saying. And you need to be hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Whew. God spoke to me about Sherman for a month. A month. Sherman, I'm walking around cutting grass going, Sherman, Sherman, Sherman. I mean, that's the Holy Spirit, because that's what he's thinking about. He's thinking about you. He's thinking about you. And then I'd see his picture in the paper. That is so cool, you know, to see his picture in the paper because he's a baseball player in the Michigan Valley Times. I mean, he's like my assignment now or something. I got to pray for him all the time, you know? God's trying to give you Holy Spirit assignments. And you're sort of like, duh, duh, duh. There's a wind blowing. He's trying to give you Holy Spirit assignments of people. I mean, it might be President Obama. I mean, you see him on the front page and, you know, and you go, oh, man, I need to pray for him. I don't need to criticize him, you know? I mean, it's an upside down kingdom. We need to react to the opposite spirit. That's what being born again is. It's reacting in the opposite spirit of what everybody else is reacting in. Whew. That's what you need to be doing, see? Moving in the... And I don't do it all the time, okay? Ask my wife. I don't do it all the time, you know? I'm in training, you know what I mean? It says, God has shown in our hearts, let there be light. See, it's a heart thing. It's not always in our heads, it's in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead shining in your life. You got the fullness. You don't have to wait for the fullness. I mean, the fullness is here right now. You got it. I got it. I got it. I don't mind saying I got it, okay? You don't have to wait to get it. You don't have to come up and let me give it to you, or at the end of the service, we'll lay hands on you to get it. You got it. Whew, not about me. God told me earlier this year, lower your expectation for man, raise your expectation for God. Whew. Man's going to fail you every time. Every time. Man will fail you. I mean, don't look to man, look to God. I love that. Turn your face to heaven. I'm going to sing it. Turn. Trying to get on the worship team. Turn. There's an opening. Turn your face to heaven. You don't want to be on the worship team. Turn your face to heaven. In those moments, turn your face to heaven. It says, we have this treasure. Oh, this is so, man, this is so incredible. You have this treasure. Oh, yeah. I mean, God put it in your heart. Your heart, this treasure, the Holy Spirit, that the excellence of the power of God, it may be of God and not of us. This treasure, that's the word dunamis, spiritual ability. You have spiritual ability. I know you're so full of natural ability. You know, Sherman is so full of natural ability. It's incredible. He's outstanding. I never experienced what he experienced. I never hit a home run. Never. I broke my arm playing baseball. And I never threw a winning pass or dunked. You know what I mean? I never did that. How many ever did that? What's it feel like? I'd like to know when crowds are getting, yeah, you know, you're striding across the field, you know. No, I ran the 880. I think that's the longest race in track, isn't it? Okay, I ran the 880. And I mean, they were just packing up everything as I was coming across. I mean, it was just like, well, this is embarrassing, you know. My wife ran a marathon. She says, it's really bad when the ambulance is following you. I mean, whew. I've never experienced that kind of victory. But we have this treasure. For anybody, even a child can do it. And unless you become as a little child, you know, unless you dance like nobody's watching. Whew. Unless you have that freedom to love and to give joy and to be in peace. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, the excellence of the power of God, maybe of God and not us. It's not about us. It's not about how you feel. We are hard pressed. I know you are hard-pressed, men. You are hard-pressed on your jobs in performance, but this is not about performance. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Perfect. Whew. Weakness does not disqualify you. It qualifies you in the kingdom. I am the weakest man. I have not got any stronger. You know, I eat more cake than I should. I drink more coffee. I'm still an addictive person. But he loves me. 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 He says we are hard pressed on every side. Don't you feel it sometimes? Like just boxed in, you know, boxed in, yet not crushed. He was crushed for you. He was crushed for you. You know, when we had that communion last week, I loved it with the M&Ms. Oh my gosh. I mean, he took the bitter so we could taste the sweet. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He took the bitter, the real bitterness. We are hard-pressed yet not crushed and are perplexed. I am so perplexed sometimes of why people do stuff. Why? Yeah, I'm just totally perplexed, but I'm not in despair. You know, I mean, it's like the abortion issue, folks. Those kids are not lost. Whew. Those kids are, I am not in despair over them. I am perplexed about the issue. You know, I'm perplexed, and some of you carry that very strong in your heart. I know it, but he does not want you to be in despair over it. There is hope. There is hope. Many of you have been through so much stuff, you know, and I know you're perplexed. I know you're perplexed over it, but he doesn't want you in despair. He does not want, he wants you to have hope. He wants the wind to be at your back. Always the wind to be at your back. It's called the second wind. I looked this up. Second wind. A runner too tired to continue. Whew. How many say, Dave, that describes me this morning? A runner too tired to continue. And suddenly, I love that word, suddenly finds the strength to press on at top performance with less exertion. Whew. That's where we're at, Maury. Maury's a runner. We're in a place, I'm telling you, where we're pressed on every side. There's never been a time like this in the culture, never. I mean, the body count is growing nightly, the perplexity of why people do stuff and the issues and all that thing, okay? But God wants to give you a second wind. He wants to carry you through when you have no strength at all. He wants to come upon you suddenly with a strength like you've never experienced before to finish the course. Whew. Yes. 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 You. Yes. Yes. You need that second wind, see? I need that second wind. How many need that second wind? I need the second wind to finish. I mean, so many things have hurt us and come against us, but the wind of the Spirit, that's why this month it's all about the wind of the Spirit. A renewed energy. A renewed energy past the point that thought to be our prime. You know, I passed my prime. I passed my prime. My hair used to be black. I loved it. I don't like white hair. You know, I mean, some people like it, but mostly old people. And but I mean, it sort of makes you like invisible. You know, you come up to the checkout counter and the girl never looks at you. You know, I mean, like, hey, you know, I mean, like the old people can become sort of invisible. You know, don't yet. You're not experiencing that yet. No. Yeah. I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, it's a transition, but I need a new wind, a second wind. I need a second wind. God's got more for me to do. It's not over. You know, even though my church failed, oh, gosh, that almost killed me. And, you know, and friends disappointed me, and good Christian friends quit, and people got divorced. I need a second wind. I'm going for the second wind, the second wind. When something or somebody has knocked the wind out of you. Whew. I'll never forget the first time the wind was knocked out of me. It was on my swing set. How many remember that? Anybody remember that? I thought for sure I was going to die. You know, you jumped off too high. You know, you're swinging, having a great time. Yeah. You know. You know that feeling? Oh. I mean, that's what it feels like, doesn't it? When you've been kicked, beat down, hurt, something's happened beyond your understanding, you're perplexed. The Spirit of God wants to breathe life into you. He wants to breathe life into you. Oh, I'm fully persuaded. I mean, the church is not fully persuaded. I am fully persuaded that nothing will separate me from the love of God. Fully persuaded. The church is not persuaded yet because they're still moving in performance. I am fully persuaded that nothing will separate me from the love. There's not a principality. There's not a power. There's not a thing that can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen. 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 Now, turn to Acts 1. Woo-hoo. Oh, Acts. The book of Acts. The book of Acts. You know, I'm here to tell you this. It's not about tongues, you know. It's not about tongues, and it's not about gifts. We've made it about that, but, you know, at the time it was pretty important, but it separated more people than drew them together. You know, it really did. And I pray in tongues more than you all. That's what Paul said. You know, I mean, I love praying in tongues, but, you know, and I was baptized in the Holy Ghost almost, you know, simultaneously with salvation, because That's how it was. You know, that's how it was in that move of the Spirit. But there's a wind of the Spirit. There's a new wind. There's a new wind of the Spirit. And even in 1 Corinthians says, everything will fail, even prophecy. But love never fails. There's a wind of the Spirit about love, and the church needs to know that He loves you, He loves you, He loves you, whether you speak in tongues or operate in spiritual gifts or, you know, whatever. I mean, he says, but you shall receive power. There we go. That word dunamis, a new energy for living. How many need a new energy for living every day? Whew. I need a new energy for living every day. Every day, a new energy for living. You shall receive a new energy for living when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. See, I'm not going to make this about tongues. Or I'm not going to make gifts about gifts. Although, you know, I taught the charismatic distinctives, you know, in week 17 of a 17, you know, long membership class, you know, on the gifts of the Spirit. I know about the gifts of the Spirit and about tongues, but it's not about that anymore. I'm telling you, you know, it's about power. It's about living life with a new energy and a fulfillment. It's about new life in the midst of a culture of death. How many agree? I mean, it's a culture of death out there. Like I said, there's a body count every night, you know. This one got murdered. This one got killed. This one got abducted. This in Afghanistan, wherever. I mean, I'm not uncompassionate about those things. But we need to live life. Our kids need to live life. They need to live life. It says, "You shall receive power so you can be a witness." Whew. You need to have joy. You need to have love and a supernatural strength. You need to have peace beyond any understanding. You need to have that to be a witness today that something's happening different in your life. Whew, where did that come from? And I'm telling you, it's going to be more and more and more necessary. You know, I mean, I was watching this little thing on the Facebook the other day, or on, you know, the whatever you call it, and this guy was telling me we're going to have a market meltdown bigger than, you know, and I started getting nervous. You know, I ain't got any money, but I was still nervous, you know, because I like the way things are, don't you? I mean, I like, you know, having stuff and everything. I said, but I said, I had to turn it off. I said, no, I'm in a different culture, I'm in a different economy, you know, I serve a different king. You have to be in that place. It says, you shall be witnesses to me in Solon, in Bainbridge, in Chagrin Falls, in Maple Heights, in Cleveland. You shall be witnesses to me in all Judea and Samaria, and even unto the ends of the earth. I mean, when you're operating in a peace that passes understanding, I'm telling you, you're touching. I mean, it's reverberating. It's reverberating. See, there's no music without wind, is there? Because you could explain to me, Doug, how wind is necessary to flow out, to have the music. It says, and now when he had spoken these things while they were watching, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of his sight. I love this picture. Huh? All of a sudden it came like Nicodemus. How can these things be above and beyond what we can even ask or think? And while they look steadfastly towards heaven, lift your heads to heaven. I'm telling you, you need to lift your head to heaven during the week from where your help comes. And he went up, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Whew. I love this stuff. I was made for this stuff. You know what I mean? I was only trying to get there the wrong way. It says, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in a manner as you saw him go to heaven. He's coming back. I will be back. Whew. He's coming back. See, there's light at the end of the tunnel, folks. We have this hope. We have this hope. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. Oh, that you've made a way, Lord, that there seems to be no way. No way. The world would say no way. Many times I've even said in my whole, my life, no way. There's no life. Many are even saying here this morning, no way. It's not going to happen. It can't happen. It's too late. It's over. Lord, I'm praying this morning, Lord, for a second wind of the Spirit. A second wind. Lord, you said there would be, you would pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, we're in the flesh here this morning. We're in the flesh. Pour out your Spirit of love. I believe it's a Spirit of love in the last day, above and beyond what we even ask or think, a Spirit of grace for one another that's going to win and bring a revival like never before, Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you. We receive it. We begin this morning and through the rest of this months and weeks, Lord, to receive that second wind of your Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.